The Calling Hour, a musical for children of all ages, by Abby Gross and Heather Harrington. Peace and harmony have ruled Spell Forest under the Calling Hour Pact.
But since the founder's passing, villagers had begun to abuse the privilege of harvesting land around Tallwood, and by the Pact's centennial, had set their greedy eyes on Spell Forest. Yet, throughout this unraveling, the Earth Spirit, better known as the Spell Queen, had done nothing to discourage this bad behavior. Meanwhile, up in Spell Forest, the Sun and Rain Spirits were so offended, they had informed Gwyn, the Wind Spirit, of their intention to wipe the slate clean. Fortunately for us villagers, Gwyn was able to gain a 48-hour reprieve. But before Gwyn, who, almost overnight, had doubled in size, and the Spellies, who governed the plants and animals in the area, could discuss their next move, a train whistled, rounding the last bend in the village.
"We want the children, we want them back!"
scream angry villagers gathering at the train station where Mayor Grant has come to greet his long-lost niece.
"Of all the places on earth, none could be worse!"
Grace complains from the middle of a hornet's nest. Villagers wonder before Gwyn, impressed by the teenager, dispatches the crowd back to their huts with an angry squall. That same morning, in the Spell Queen's meadow, the Chanimals, part human, part animal, are bent on going home after their time in the wild. But the Wind Spirit had frozen the Flurbs, and to make matters more dire, the Spell Queen then announces, "Oh, no, we're not," think the Chanimals, and off they go in search of some flower spells to turn them into children again. Back in Tallwood, the tour of the mill and company store has Grace in a rage regarding her mother's birthplace. It's a disaster, nothing like she had been led to believe.
"And what is more?"
About then, at the top of Spell Forest, the Spellies, or three bees as they are affectionately known, Belsie, the hummingbird, Breen, the wolf, and Bailey, the butterfly, are worried about Gwyn's obsession with the Chanimals.
Not very nice.
They chime in about the bratty kids upon his return, applauding Gwyn's effort, along with the mouse and owl Spellies, to extract a sincere apology from the obnoxious hybrid. That evening, as Grace climbs into bed in the manor guest room, she taps her ring three times. Lifted into flight by magical vapors above the surrounding woodlands, she hears her late mother warn.
"Something's wrong. Where's my song?"
Back in bed, Grace is wrapped in profound sadness and a sense of urgency to heal the rift between forest and village.
"Losers like us, no one seems to trust."
The Chanimals jest among themselves early next morning as they near the cave where they plan to trick Gwyn into handing over a fresh batch of Flurbs. But the Wind Spirit turns the tables on them, leaving Oscar, who has fallen asleep as lookout, to make good on their rescue. It doesn't take long for Grace to get involved in the ongoing struggle when later that morning she becomes the target of terrified villagers. Still awaiting the youngster's return, they bear witness to Gwyn's handiwork, the freezing of the mare, and chasing Grace towards Spell Forest, demand a truce with their caretaker, the Spell Queen. At the top of Spell Forest, the ever-expanding Gwyn celebrates his meteoric rise by informing the three bees of a change in plans.
"And what hit her, the queen will never know."
Then, from out of nowhere, the Spell Queen seizes the upper hand with her earth-shattering grunt. Gwyn angrily orders the field mouse and owl Spellies back to the cave. Letting it slip, he will attend to the recently arrived Tallwood after a well-deserved nap, handing the three bees the opportunity to track Grace's whereabouts. Down in Tallwood, the two loggers sent to retrieve the missing children return empty-handed and find the mare a repentant man. In a rush to make amends with the Spell Queen, he asks the children to escort him up to Spell Forest.
Show me the word to the wise, and a thousand humble pies. I apologize.
Meanwhile, Grace is fast asleep in a spellbound meadow created by the re-energized Spell Queen. The wolf's belly is the first to arrive, soon joined by the others. With no time to spare, they rouse Grace with a gentle prod and are delighted to discover she can speak the language of nature.
Though we're all different, we each bear an imprint that binds us as creatures unique. For we all speak the language of nature.
With some fresh flurbs in hand, Grace is primed to right the troubles between the village and the Spell Queen. When Oscar appears, she convinces the gang to go after his buddies. And when Homelia and Jurason show up on their own, she has the wherewithal to hide them before Gwyn swoops down to block the path to the Spell Queen's meadow. Then, after the enraged Wind Spirit tries to sabotage the calling hour ceremony, she rallies the group around her and gets them to hum along, creating a sound frequency strong enough to revive the hummingbird's belly and the flower spells. Back to the Spell Queens they rush, humming all the way. But just as they reach the path that skirts the waterfall, Gwyn mounts a furious whirlwind that propels them head over heels into the air. Still, Grace doesn't waver, remaining steadfast in her conviction.
Nature needs us all to believe in our own humanity.
Finally, as the Spell Queen guides the band to safety, Grace leads a chant against Gwyn's last-ditch attempt to seize the scroll, until the Rain Spirit, having seen enough, ends the battle with a sizzling thunderbolt. "Stop!" she claps, sending the Wind Spirit to Earth, deflated and defeated. Standing over her foe, the Spell Queen supplies a final twist by congratulating the Wind Spirit on a job well done. Watched over by the reunited spirits, Grace takes the child's hand, and in the encroaching darkness, they sign the pact to last their lifetime and beyond.
Reach out your hand and take the flower. The time has come for